this is a bet, and I like baseball, and I like the Cleveland Indians. Sheila, where are you? Dennis? Okay. So, what I want to talk to you about is my Cleveland Indians. And as you can see up on the screen, they've been talked about this year a little bit, well, earlier this year. They were on ESPN Magazine, and there's an ace pitcher named C.C. Sabathia. And he was on ESPN Magazine, and this year, many people predicted them to win the World Series. Many analysts. Because last year, they tied the record for most wins with the Boston Red Sox, and they were one game away from making it to the World Series, which I don't want to get into. But this is our ace pitcher, who we traded away a few months ago, which I also don't want to get into. But they were predicted to win the 2008 World Series by a lot of people. They started off the season with high hopes, but as they're in the bottom five teams in all of baseball right now, you can see that my hopes are becoming dashed. So it doesn't matter how many analysts professed with their mouth that they thought the Indians were good. It doesn't matter how many sports fans for the Cleveland Indians said that, yeah, they can win this year. They rooted. They hoped. And they said, you know what? It's still early. It's still early. It's still early. Okay, it's the end of the season. We're done. It doesn't matter how much a big game the people talk in baseball, the Cleveland Indians. The fact is, what they profess with their mouth has to match what they possess. And if they're not possessing a World Series title, if they're possessing one of the worst records in baseball, then obviously what they profess is not matching what they possess. And so they've only possessed the World Series trophy two times, 1948 and 1920. Cubs fans, you can feel my pain. So profession without possession of something doesn't really add up to much, does it? You've heard the saying, we can talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk. You have to act like you're talking. And so that's the way it is in our walk with God. I'll leave this up here. I won't hurt anybody. You may have heard the term Sunday Christian or once a week Christian. Of course, it's referred to a person who professes with their mouth to be a Christian. And they may even usually come to church on Sunday, Sunday Christian. But it's referring to them coming on Sunday but not really living it with their life. They're professing, but they aren't possessing the Christian faith. They profess how holy and Christian they are, but they don't possess the obedient love of God in their actions. In his letter to Titus, Paul talked about this. He mentions people who claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. And I fear that there's way too many people like that in the world today, and I've been a part of that group in my life also. But I don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I don't want to be a Sunday Christian. And I don't want anybody else in here to be one either. I want to live wholeheartedly for God with everything that I am every single day of my life. And that's what I desire for all of you too. And that's what God desires from us. A real, authentic faith where we actually possess what we are professing. That lasting commitment. And so I want to tell you about the amazing things God's given to us when we follow Him with our lives and when we possess what we profess. Those are the actions for today. Possess what we profess. But before I give you the good news about that, I have to give you the bad news first of what happens when we don't follow God or profess with our mouths that we do follow Him but don't really have that change of heart. We don't really follow Him with our lives. There's a song whose chorus goes, "Now there's good news and there's bad news. Now which news you want first? Well, if I give you the good news without the bad news, that won't grab you. That won't work. Well, let me get the bad news. Everyone must die. There's more bad news. God is going to judge our lives. But the good news, God sent Jesus Christ so we can serve our death sentence and bring us new life." And so what he's saying is that in order for us to fully appreciate this good news of Jesus, We need to first understand the bad news about our sinful nature to fully appreciate that. So I want to take a look with you at 1 John. Turn with me, if you would. 1 John, if you go to the end of the Bible, Revelation, just go over a few small books to the left. You'll hit 1 John. In Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as it judges the thoughts and purposes of the heart. And so this passage that I'm going to read today in 1 John, it convicts me every single time I read it. And it slices straight through my heart. And that's what the Word of God does. It pierces us. It convicts us to follow the right path. And so it should convict all of us today to spur us on to truly follow God and His example of Jesus in our lives. So let's just read the whole passage. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. For whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. This is a critical passage from John for understanding what a real follower of God looks like. So there's good news and there's bad news mixed up in this passage. And first I want to go back and take a look at the bad news with you. Don't you love coming here, get all the bad news? All right, but there's good news to follow. Let's take a look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to follow God, if we profess His name, but don't possess Him in our hearts, in our lives, like He's called us to live, if we don't possess His truth and have changed hearts, we're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves, and we're lying to everybody around us. But we know that God can see right through that lie. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Again, the truth isn't in us. This is talking about the sin nature that we're born with. We're all born sinful. We're all in need of a Savior. And if we say that we're fine without God, yeah, I don't really need Him in my life, I'm not that bad, then again, we're deceiving ourselves, and we don't have the truth within our hearts and within our minds. We can't do it without God. There's more bad news. Verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the perfect and holy glory of God. It's dangerous when we start to compare ourselves to the sins of other people and say, well, at least I haven't killed anybody. At least I haven't done that, any of the big sins. We can't compare our sins to other people. We've all sinned. Whether you think it's big or small, it's a sin. And we're all unfit to be with God. So if we say that we're doing pretty good, we haven't done any of the major bad things in our life, we're calling God a liar. We're calling God a liar by our actions. And His word has no place in our life. His truth has no place. Understand that God never lies. He's always full of truth. And one more bad news today. Chapter 2, verse 4. The man who says, I know him, being God, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We see a recurring pattern. We're lying, the truth isn't in us. If we're lying and we say that we know God but don't do what he commands, we're lying. If you love somebody and you know that person loves you, you basically do what they ask you to do, won't you? Because they know that they only have your best interest in mind. Last week we got a cat. Last week, today, we got two cats. And I have a little squirt gun. And what we do is when the cats jump on the kitchen counter, we squirt them. Sorry. They jump on the counter, we're making food. They also might jump on the stove. We squirt them. Sorry. This could be really fun. But we do that. There's the pastor. I've always wanted to. We do that because we know that when they jump up on the counter, them eating our human food would be bad for them. It would make them sick. Chocolate and other things can even kill them. So we're trying to train them. Their brain's about this big, so it takes a while. But we're doing it over and over again, and we squirt them when they get up. Loving discipline. And on the stove, if the cat jumps on the stove and it's lit, we'd have a fried cat. And I want a live cat, not a fried cat. So we're squirting them because we love them. We're teaching them not to do these things because we know what's best for them. And that's just like God when he squirts you, or what you could say. He wants us to follow his commands. He wants us to follow, to do these things and to not do these other things, not because he wants to take away our fun, not because he wants to punish us, but because he knows what's best for us and he cares for us and wants to have abundant life and wants us to be free. All right, that was fun. But God's like our Father and he does that for us. So we need to follow his commands and follow what he says in life, and we'll have a better life because of it, a more fulfilled, godly life. If we call ourselves Christians but don't follow Christ, what good is that? If we call ourselves Christians, obviously we should be. Just imagine with me a world where even, let's say, a quarter of the people who call themselves Christians really lived like a follower of Christ. How different this place would be. How very different. So all this bad news, these are very straightforward words from John. And it's tough to swallow sometimes. It really convicts us because most of us, all of us have sinned. We're being convicted by these words. It pierces our heart. It cuts deep and it makes us really consider the way that we're living in life. So I want to talk with you about this, not to depress you, but to spur you on towards repentance, towards confession, towards change and life transformation in your life. That's what the Word of God does. If you pay attention, it brings about this tremendous change in our hearts and in our lives. We need to be a people who stop living in the darkness, who stop living like the world. We need to be people who continually live in God's light, who are constantly transforming ourselves by the renewing of our mind, our hearts, into the amazing things that God has for us. Then we really possess what we profess. Now, I want to tell you about the good news. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Christ died in our place. He took the judgment of death that we should have had because of our sin. If we choose to walk in the ways of God, and holiness and impurity, the sacrifice, that sacrifice of Jesus, it purifies us from all our sins, present and future. We're washed clean. We're made new creations in Christ. And when that happens, God forgives us for everything we've ever done. As a side note, we also need to learn to forgive ourselves. God has already forgiven us. Sometimes we carry around past guilt and regret. It's like a burden on our shoulders. We need to move away from these sins in our life and stop beating ourselves up because God's already forgiven that. Move on to walk in the light. And yes, remember those things, learn from those experiences, but we need to forgive ourselves also because God already has. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So our part is to confess. That's our part. God's part is to forgive. When we confess, God forgives. It's pretty simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We confess and God forgives. He's made this promise to us. And we know that God keeps all of His promises. If we confess, He will forgive us. It's never too late to come to Christ. If you haven't come to Him already, don't wait. Come to Him today. You haven't sinned too much. You're not too old. We all can find forgiveness for all our past if we just confess. And I want to tell you about more good news. The good should always outweigh the bad. We know that if we, chapter 2, verse 3. We know that if we have come to know Him, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. We know Him if we obey His commandments. What are some of the commands of Jesus? Anybody? Shout them out. Love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Other commandments were to repent, believe, be baptized, to have persevering faith, to pray, to celebrate communion, to make disciples, and of course, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love everyone around us like we love ourselves. We become more Christ-like when we follow the things that He taught us to do. If we really love God and His Son, we should follow in loving obedience and obey the things that He has commanded us to. It talks about it all in here. When we say, God, I love You, but then do everything else that He tells us not to do, then we really don't truly love Him deep down. There needs to be a change in our heart, a change in our lives. And the last good news we're going to look at today is verse 5. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. When we profess to live in Christ, we must possess that in our lives. And we show that by living a life pleasing to God. Oh, I skipped one. If we lovingly obey God's word and what He has for us, God is perfectly known in our lives. We know we're in Him. How comforting is that? To know that God has forgiven us of everything, that He gives us new life, we'll have life in the age to come, and we know that when we love Him and we follow His commands. And then verse 6, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. When we profess to live in Christ, we must also possess that in our lives. Profess and possess. And we show that by living a life pleasing to God like Jesus did. By following His commands, we not only speak it with our mouths, but we live it with our life. And I want to share with you the testimony of a man who started a website called SettingCaptivesFree.com where they help people overcome all kinds of addictions and be free in Christ. So this is his testimony, how God has worked in his life. He says, for many years, I lived as one who accepted Christ, but in word only. There was little evidence of Christ in my life, except for that which I spoke with my mouth. I lived in the habitual, life-dominating sins of overeating and laziness, pornography and overdrinking. My reception of the gospel was only that which came into my brain, my thoughts, and my speech. Though I could cry when I heard the gospel or thought of Jesus, much like I would cry when the Star Spangled Banner would play as the finale as the 4th of July fireworks. I knew very little of genuine repentance and godly sorrow and real life change. He continues, you know, true Christianity and especially true ministry is not about being able to put words together. It is not about being able to string together the King's English or make a point with our speech. is about a very powerful life change, where I no longer love what I once loved, I no longer do what I once did, I no longer live as I once lived. It is receiving the gospel, not in word only, but rather in the life-changing power of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And he ends, if you are one who is currently in bondage to habitual sins such as drunkenness and drugs, pornography and sexual impurity, gambling and betting, overeating and laziness, unforgiveness and bitterness, self-sufficiency and pride, etc., I encourage you to come to the foot of the cross. Look up to your Savior's bleeding face and cry out for mercy. Experience the brokenness that comes when confronted with your sin and confronted with the tender mercy of a dying Savior. Then repent with your whole heart, turn from sin with a passion, and live in the change of life that comes when people truly receive the gospel, not in word, but with power. A very powerful testimony of his. He learned to not only profess it with his mouth, and it took him a long time. Sometimes it takes us a long time. It's a lifelong process. But we need to profess and possess that life change, that following God with our lives. And that's what I want for myself, and that's what I long for all of you, to have that change in your lives, and not just to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then you just live like the world. That's not what it's about. It's not about coming to church on Sunday. It's great that you're here. We should encourage each other as a body of believers, but it's about so much more. So for those of you that are following Christ, that are walking in the light, I say awesome. There's no greater way. I want to encourage you to continue doing that, continue to persevere in your faith, even when times get hard. Continue doing good works so everyone around you can see this light that you shine, that you possess. Something special, something different. And for those of you that claim to be Christians but are still living in darkness, and God's ways aren't always your ways, they're not really in your heart and in your life, I urge you to take sin seriously, to confess your sins, and that you've only been following God in words but not in actions. You'll be free from the bondage of sin. You'll be forgiven and cleansed for everything. And you will have new life and incredible transformation in your life and in your heart if you would only confess your sins to God and follow Him. And for those of you who don't yet claim to be Christians, maybe you're sitting on the fence, you're not quite sure about what this whole God thing is about, turn your life over to Christ. Give it up to Him. Don't wait. Tomorrow isn't promised for any of us. And the Bible tells us very strongly that those who live sinful lives without Christ will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't have a part in the mind-blowing, amazing things that God has for us to come. They'll be separated from Him. I don't want you to miss out on these things that God has promised to the faithful believers. So please just seek God out. You can talk to one of the pastors or the elders or one of your Christian friends who's really showing the light, who's really living in Christ. And I encourage you to begin the most amazing journey that life could ever offer you. Don't just profess. Don't just profess, but possess. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die for us, to take away the penalty of our sins. I pray that we would take that truth and not only proclaim it with our mouth, but live it with our life, a holy and pleasing testimony to you, Father. I pray that we wouldn't just go on each week coming to church, but not living it. We want to be devoted to you, Lord. We want to be wholly devoted followers of you and your Son. Please help that life change in our hearts to happen. Help that transformation of our life to take place, Lord. We want to follow you. We want to enjoy life abundantly now and what you have for us in the future. We want to be a part of that, Lord. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us. Amen.